And look who's here. Sports Damo. Damien,
how are you, sir?
Haven't seen you on that side of the microphone in a number of years.
It's a couple of years since you and I sat in this studio together.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite a more respectable hour this time around as well.
Quite often, even it could be 6 a.m. and each of us trying to wake each, the other person up. Them the days, huh?
Back in the day when men were men and we were getting out of bed at 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, and partying in Paris every now and then.
Yes, at lunchtime and then going home to bed.
Anyway. Now, you're here anyway, because really interested about the transfer window. I mean, it's open until the 31st of January, and people really, I think Sky Sports News, it's become nearly their biggest show now.
Yeah, and when you actually look at it and examine the figures, it's nowhere near as important as people make it out to be, the January window.
Yeah.
Like, there was 120 million spent last year by the Premier League clubs. If you were to buy into the hype, you'd think it was billions and billions and billions. On average, there's 4 times more spent in the summer window than there is in the January window. But doesn't it fill a couple of weeks of Jim White screaming on the 31st of January and trying to get managers? And the ones I always feel sorry for, surely the reporters who stand outside all these training grounds getting spat at. And
the bit I like about that is you get to see what all the guys are driving.
Yeah, and then thinking to yourself, if I had a year's salary tax-free without a single expense, I still wouldn't be able to afford that.
And you go, but hang on, he plays for Stockport County. Yeah. Why is he driving a Porsche?
And he's paying more tax every year than I earn. But it's the reality of it is, it's quite interesting, but in terms of big transfers, you look at this year so far. Okay, well, generally, the big transfers won't happen until maybe Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of the final week, because the big clubs will hold out until the last minute. And
but I would imagine the players hold out. I'd say the biggest people that hold out are the agents.
Big time.
And they're the ones that start all the stories. Mm,
they're the kingmakers. You've touched on an interesting point there. I'd love to actually get all the tabloid newspapers for a month in January some year and go down through all the rumour transfers and actually try and work out how many of them actually come out. Because on a given day, like, one player is definitely going to about 4 different clubs. Manchester United have been linked with half a Serie A at this stage, and none of them have signed. So,
but the other thing I thought was big Sam Allardyce, wasn't he talking that was it Paul Lambert about Shane Long saying he's not here, and there was reports saying he's in your room at the moment getting a medical. Now, he's going, he's not here.
A fee agreed between West Brom and Hull this morning, so it looks like Shane is on his way to Hull. €7.4 million is the rumoured fee, so which is a strange one for me on a couple of levels. Shane Long's a fine footballer.
Yeah.
Should his ambition lie somewhere further up the Premier League table than Hull? You've also got a brand new manager who's just gone into West Brom. So obviously Shane has either decided that he wants out, or the club have decided that they need to cash in before his contract runs out.
The thing is, if no one else is knocking on the door, you still jump into the... Hull are decent enough.
Yeah, but I
know they get hammered a few times, but you know, they're sort of okay.
I think Shane Long is a better player than that.
Do you see him top four?
I see him...
Everton?
Having, well, yeah, I think he'd do a job for Arsenal.
Genuinely.
So? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I just took out the page of the transfers, and this is in the Mirror, right? So there's Connor Salmon is leaving. Mm. Wes told you're staying. Aidan tipped to go to Goodison. He did go. Yeah,
he did go.
Oh yeah. Why are they doing that? Oh, it's somebody going on about he's going to be great there. There's about 10 stories of players going. Tell us about the Irish players that are gone.
There's actually been quite... We talked about this on the programme on Game On last night. There's actually been a really significant amount of Irish movement compared to other seasons. So you've Shane Long is on his way from West Brom to Hull today.
Right.
Stephen Ireland has moved permanently from Aston Villa to Stoke, which is a good move for him. Paddy Madden has left Yeovil to go to Scunthorpe. There was a bit of a falling out behind the scenes there. So he's moved on to a club where hopefully he'll be a little bit happier.
Where's Scunthorpe now in the league? Are they first division?
No, they're certainly not. They'll be league. They're League One, aren't they?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head. You think I would be far?
Well, it's Scunthorpe. I'll let you away with that one.
Do you know that? There's a very passionate man in the music industry. You'd know Pete Murphy very well.
Yeah.
He's the world's most passionate Scunthorpe fan.
It's
the only Scunthorpe fan I know.
There's guys that I know, and they're Burnley fans, and you're going, what? Why?
You can kind of understand, like, clubs like Leeds are massive, West Ham are massive, because of, like, tradition.
Yeah.
But how do you support Scunthorpe? Anyway, Paddy Madden is on his way to Scunthorpe. Aidan McGeady has left Spartak Moscow to come back to Everton.
So
the Irish contingent at Everton is kind of higher than it's ever been before. I was trying to think, you've now got a situation next season where potentially you could have Seamus Coleman starting at fullback. You could have Darren Gibson and McCarthy in the centre midfield. You could have McGeady on the wing. You could potentially have Shane Duffy, Irish underage international, could push his way into centre back. Yeah. So you'd have to go all the way back to probably the good Aston Villa team in the late 80s before you'd find a team that had so many Irish internationals in the Premier League.
And you've got a team that's in, what, fourth in the league, fifth in the league now at the moment, Everton, doing really well. That's good for, you know, World Cup in the years to come.
But the question that you have to ask is, are Irish players now seen as better players within the transfer window, or are they seen as cheaper fodder? Like, are they a more economical alternative? Is the fact that more of them are on the move a sign of Irish football being on the rise again, or just simply a case that you can get them cheap?
Well, what would you say?
I think it's probably a case that you can get them at a pretty...
And like, they speak
like
English.
Aidan McGeady wanted out of Moscow. He was... And Moscow wanted rid of him, seemingly, because his wages were pretty significant. Paddy Madden had a falling out. Paul Lambert clearly didn't fancy Stephen Ireland at Aston Villa. The Shane Long one kind of bemuses me somewhat because I can't understand why West Brom would want to get rid of him. Wes Hoolahan, I still think Wes Hoolahan will leave Norwich despite what Chris Hughton is saying. And then presumably we could have a few more on the move as well.
Is it because they're a little bit cheaper, possibly? The style is very suited to the Premiership.
They understand the culture.
We're so close. They understand the culture. They speak the language. And they're not coming with too much baggage, as in sometimes when the players move from Italy or from South America, it can be a really difficult move.
I think, they're probably are just an easier way of integrating, and they're good footballers as well, and they probably, like, if Shane Long was Italian or Spanish, would you get him for 7.4 million? Probably not, because that's the way that the Premier League has gone.
So you need to go to the HR department of those clubs and find out what's going on.
Yeah,
they're the meetings to be at.
But it's going to be interesting. I can't see any real massive moves unless, like, you mentioned the World Cup.
Yeah.
You look at some players like Juan Mata. Does Mata have to get out of Chelsea in order to save his World Cup in June? Because is he going to be in the Spanish squad if he's not playing at Chelsea? So unless you look at players like that whose hands could be forced in terms of pursuing a move.
But there you go. That's possibly why so many of the Irish lads moved.
To get back into first team football.
Yeah, and it didn't matter where they moved because the World Cup isn't important to us this time around.
And it's all about building towards September and the first set of qualifiers. Yeah. You've never really shied away from your Manchester United allegiance.
No, I have not. I never will.
There was an article on the BBC website last week. Don't know, would you have seen it? Robbie Savage went through the entire Manchester United squad. He went through 27 players. I think he'd 15 players he'd get rid of, 12 players he'd hold on to.
This is Robbie Savage, who Man United got rid of?
Class of 92 doesn't even feature in the documentary. You're claiming he might have some form of vendetta against Manchester United.
Robbie Savage, absolutely not.
He's got fantastic hair.
Yeah, and great legs on Strictly Come Dancing.
I stood behind him in the canteen at the Olympics. And you know, you just stand in wonder and look at someone's hair.
Yeah.
The greatest hair I've ever seen.
Did you touch it?
No. I was carrying my tray at the time. He's talked about Manchester United needing this massive clear out. And if you look at the rumours, every single paper you look at, United are being linked with heaps and heaps of players. So David Moyes was caught on camera on duty, scouting duty, presumably over the weekend. So
he was at the Juve game, wasn't he?
Yeah. Now the talk is he's looking for midfielders. Arturo Marchisio Pogba could be the Juve connection. Yeah. Pogba, who walked out of United after having a row with Alex Ferguson. A story from Cagliari could be the other player. But the problem, just say, you look at a situation where clubs get held over a barrel. Happened to Liverpool a couple of years ago. They got rid of Xavi Alonso. They went after Gareth Barry, didn't happen. Went after Alberto Aquilani. Everyone knew how much money Benitez had in his back pocket, and he ended up paying massively over the odds. Yeah. Likewise, when Torres walked out and Liverpool ended up buying Andy Carroll, paid massively over the odds. So if people know that Manchester United are potentially desperate for players, is David Moyes going to end up having to pay miles over the odds? They're talking about 50 million potentially to buy two players from Juventus. It's mad money.
It is mad money. And will it really change? I mean, because I would say what he's got isn't terrible. It just needs, they all need to settle a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a tough one.
But he needs, like, you go through it. Goalkeeper's fine. Could probably do with two new fullbacks because Evra's on his way to Monaco, if you believe the rumours in the same newspapers. Needs a couple of midfielders. Van Persie and Rooney, what's going on there?
Yeah, it's not working too well.
I didn't mean to depress you now, but...
It's all right.
Would you like a hug?
I'm getting it from every side. Is Shane Long, is that the biggest so far? The 7.4 million.
Nemanja Matic going from Benfica to Chelsea He went from Chelsea to Benfica as part of the deal that brought David Luiz back. Chelsea have now paid 21 million to bring him back. So in terms of actual transfers, that's the biggest one.
Right.
Shane Long, in terms of profile from an Irish perspective, is certainly the biggest one. It's pretty quiet. It's really going to, I would say, you're looking at the 29th, 30th, 31st.
That just goes crazy. Explode,
unless United start to move pretty quickly.
That's when Sky Sports News just go into overdrive.
Yeah, and it's
amazing. It's great fun.
You know, you'd miss Harry Redknapp hanging out of the back of his car or hanging out, you know. It's really when the summer when it explodes, but it's now the clubs are desperate, and that's when the real big money starts.
And Sky Sports News are desperate as well. So
yeah, but sure, doesn't it give us all something to talk about?
Absolutely.
The only other thing that you very rarely hear people talk about is it's all well and good to say what clubs you want your players to be attracted to. Perhaps the talking point on our program tonight should be who in your squad would you want to get rid of? Because you can definitely talk about that.
You can, yeah.
It's like, what's the chances realistically of Pogba moving from Juve to United? So why not speculate? Why not just say, just get rid of half the United squad? Who would you get rid of, Colin?
Well, I'd certainly get rid of Nani.
Yeah.
Cleverson is still around, isn't he?
Cleverly. Cleverson, no, he's long gone, isn't he?
Is he long? Who am I thinking of? The other guy who comes in? Anderson, I get rid of.
Always looks like he's carrying a bit of timber.
Get rid of Nani. Ashley Young, I think, had gone. Sell him as well. Ferdinand, definitely.
And Giggsy?
He's all right at the moment. He's okay. I get rid of the two Brazilian lads.
Fabio and Rafael.
They just keep getting yellow cards and red cards and they keep getting caught and not coming back, so I get rid of them as well.
So there you go.
And Vidic, sorry.
Two minutes ago you were saying United actually haven't got that bad a squad. There, you must have listed off six or seven players that you want out the door.
Oh, yeah. All right, listen, anything else on tonight? What's on tonight?
Well, we're going to be talking about Sean O'Brien has extended his contract with Leinster. The Leinster team has just been named to play the Ospreys, a match that we've got live as part of an extended programme tomorrow night. The big news there is Rickard Strauss had heart surgery earlier in the season.
Right.
His back and has been named on the replacements bench. So we'll be chatting about that. Mick O'Dwyer has retired. We're likely to chat about that. There's a new initiative been brought in to try and curtail parents' involvement on the sidelines of soccer matches. You'd have a few stories, I'm sure.
Well, because I was a mentor of a GAA team, like even the under 8s and under 9s, and their parents were appalling. And the worst were the mums.
Yep.
And they'd be shouting, Johnny, go up and score a goal, go up and score a goal. And you'd have to turn to Mrs. O'Neill and say, Johnny isn't goals.
Exactly.
He's not going to score a goal.
I was once playing a GAA match and I saw two parents actually get into a punching match on the touch, and you're trying to play a match and then you turn around and go, like, Johnny's dad is hitting Billy's dad and, you know, Mikey's mother is trying to split the two of them. It's madness.
I know, it's crazy.
So we're going to be talking about that and our weekly golf slot as well. So all of that, 7 o'clock here on 2FM.
Good talking to you again, Dan.
Mind yourself.